So you can sort of start any time.
Yeah, because I, you know, activism wasn't really a noun that was current. All the resistance was like my father was anti-alcoholic because his father was a drunkard. He did bad things. And so he never got to the pub. But politics was on the street corners. I think there was a law where you could not have more than two or three people standing together. I don't know what was a corner, because I would always think a corner would be drafty or, you know, why did they stand? Anyway, that's what that
We've
is.
We've got a law like that, haven't we?
Huh?
Yeah. We had it in Queensland.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where people hang around together.
Under Bielke Peterson.
Yeah, it was illegal for more than two people.
Yeah.
If three of you stood together, it was a public meeting.
It was a meeting, yeah.
And you could be arrested, because the same thing applied in New Zealand when I was first there. But
so what was the government, because here it's a state government, what were they afraid of?
Public meetings.
Yeah.
People
getting together and doing something. And the reason they met on corners might have been so they could see both roads.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah. Anyway, they met in the flat. You know, there are flats, well, like big houses in a square, and in the middle a little park, and with greenery and benches for the kids and people to sit. And I remember, well, we also had, because it was before vacuum cleaners, or we didn't have a vacuum, so mother would put the mats on a big bar
outside.
In that courtyard, you know, and whack it with we call it pracker. I don't know, I've got not. But I bought one here and Jackie nicked it straight away because she wanted it. But anyway, back to the situation in 1934. And so mother was crying, and I couldn't understand why she was crying, because we were at the neighbors underneath us, and my mother had me on her arms. And then I remember the neighbor, the underneath neighbor, Otter was down. He had me, because I got made heavy or something. And I thought that was so exciting. It's so wonderful. And I just didn't understand that mother didn't tell me why she was crying, because she was worried that dad would have gotten shot, you know. And you could hear it. No lights, nothing. No stove. He didn't cook for the whole day and night. And it was only, I think, a couple of days and one night that the people didn't sleep. And then it settled down. But I don't know what the agreement was, if there was any, but I think the red ones won, so the communists and socialists won. And I think the socialists and communists in those days were not that far apart as they are in South Australia. It's the only one. Because to be a communist, was also to be an international socialist. You belong to a global group and you felt stronger. Whereas I think the socialists, even the radical socialists, were perhaps more local. But because I was six and because nobody explained it to me, and I didn't ask because all the goings on was quite enough for me to absorb and to rejoice. And then I remember one of their sons of the Frau Ortner played chess, and we played chess by a candle, and the neighbor put a black thing on the window. It's idiotic, but when the bombs came to Vienna, it was the same. We would go into the cellar we had mudgy soup and potatoes. That was available, so everybody had that. And there were two people who could play chess, and I was then 15, and I thought, wow, that is chess. I was looking forward, usually 2 o'clock in the morning, the flyers came bombed, they call it carpet bombing, where, you know, the bombers are next to each other and they make a sort of a wide streaks.
Was this the beginning of the war?
Oh, yeah, no, that was 43, I think. 43 was the heaviest that I can remember. And
how old were you then?
43, I was 15.
Yeah.
And I can remember in the end, but you would know that better than I can tell. In the end, Hitler gave the under 16 and the over 65 a gun to save National Socialism and to be able to liberate the whole world. And all the songs that we sang in Teachers College, I think it was my first year in Teachers College too, which was absolutely brown. Brown sort of reminds you a bit of something else, but the Browns were the Nazis, National Socialists.
So Browns were the Nazis and Blacks were?
The Conservatives or Tories.
And Reds were the Socialists.
And the Red were the, yeah. And we, I don't know, are you familiar with that, where they had 3 arrows next to each other, and we wore that on, yeah, like nature friend. I don't know what the 3 arrows meant, but it must have something to do with the party. And so I just got the wrong idea with the bombing and all that, because to me that was mudgy soup with potatoes and chess. At 2 o'clock in the morning, whoop-a-doo. Even though you would go to school and see if it was still standing the next day. I don't know, had that funny concept of the whole thing. And then one of the girls, Erga was her name, and she disappeared. She was the only one who disappeared. And apparently it was because her parents had the London sender, or, you know, black sender, they called it. I don't know, everything is in colors there. But the black sender was the one that you weren't allowed to listen to because it was...
A radio program.
Okay. Yeah, that's the sender, you know. And okay. We had it too because my father was a radio ham. And in those days, you had valves, you know, in the radio. Can you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they had valves and not... transistors, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I remember when early in the piece about the valves in the radio when Dad took it out, I was very disappointed because we had mainly classical music playing, especially on a Sunday morning, and there was no concert there with people playing the fiddle, and, you know, there were only valves, and I thought, where are the people? Yeah, I was very sad that day, and I never said it because I don't know why I never said it, but I never said to my dad, where is the orchestra? Or something, you know, because he would have been able to explain it like he'd explained everything.
Did the girl who disappeared ever get seen again?
Erica. Hmm? Did Erica ever come back?
No, never. But that was the reason we actually only found out in 1945, when the information seeped through, you know, towards the end. Yeah. The whole family was in Auschwitz. Yeah. Mm. Oh, Ravensbrück, I think that was the closest. Ravensbrück is in Upper Austria. And that's when I got my hackles up, because before it was so inducing and so brainwashing without us knowing that I remember Hitler standing on top of the balcony in Hotel Imperial, which is on the Ringstrasse in Vienna. And I had a period and I felt very sick, very painful. And the people next to me held me up. But then I fell down. I really was bad then, and I sank down, and it was like treason. How dare you to collapse when Hitler is speaking? This is how bad it was. And you know, then after that, when they sort of thought that I was not worthy of Adolf Hitler, then I started putting my fingers up. You know, I really didn't because I didn't have the equivalent of it.
Yes.
And then there were four class leaders, and I don't know why. There were four class leaders in 1, 2, 3, and 4 year of teacher training college, and I was one of those four always. And we had four quarters school, and one was for each quarter, one person. And so when I was, you had to present your aims and your purpose for why you want to be a leader and what you're going to do and what can be improved in terms of academia and in terms of helping the people on the front and papa papa. And I, that's when the first time they said they are giving their lives in Russia or whatever, East Africa. And I said, they are not. Who wants to give their life when they have got kids and families and wives at home? It's being stolen from them. And I remember it was a philosophy professor who made me go out and talk. And I said, it's not right to say, yes, we should help. And we knitted socks for the soldiers on the front. But don't tell me that they give their lives so that we can be safe and rulers of the world. Because there is so much evidence now that people, and I quoted Erga, the girl who's left, and I remember the philosophy professor said, okay, that'll be fine. He cut me actually off. And afterwards, he got me out into the corridor, and he said, do you want to be a teacher? And I said, yeah, of course I do. He said, where do you want to go? Oh, I said, you know, to West Africa, Guada, all the colonies that Hitler would have gotten back that we lost in the First World War, and all that. Turn around Versailles and all that. Anyway, and he said, okay, if you want to be a teacher, shut up. Okay? And I said, I want to be a teacher, but I want to be a class leader for that quarter as well. And if nobody else says it, and all of them think it, then somebody has to say it. And he said, it's your choice. So I came home, and then my father had died about 3 years before. And I told my mother, and my mother was horrified because she was always, we had a Jew coming every Sunday for Gurken Salat and Eiernockerl, that's egg knuckle with egg, I don't know what. No, goodness. I don't know. And cucumber salad. And he used to love that. But I want to tell you now something else, if that allows me.
Your mother was horrified at what? At your decision or what the...
No, my mother was horrified that I was thinking like I did, because she said, you are going to join Erga and me too. We all three going to concentration camp. And I thought, you know, I couldn't understand, because there is a truth, as you know how you see things in black and white, when you're, and that truth is being downtrodden. You know? Oh, and I thought, the world is upside down. Yeah, and I know in the tram, everything was organized during Hitler. In the tram, it was the enemy listens in. And there was a black man, not black skin color, a shadowy and you couldn't talk about, you know, everybody would look if we were speaking in the bus or in the tram, because nobody dared to. I think I was a bit provocative. I was then, once I found out that's a sham, I was really fired up, and because I knew socialism, but I didn't know the history, and I wasn't indoctrinated by socialism as much as I was by National Socialism, Hitler. You know, they have everything in place: singing and dancing around the maypole and knitting half the night, the socks, and the organization of Hitler was superb. He had everything in place to successfully brainwash. And the people who had a comparison with other ideologies shut up, because they didn't want to go to the concentration camp. So it was a no-win. That's fun. I remember also when my father was still alive. I must have been 12 or 13, perhaps 13. We had a bottle of salmiak and something else in underneath the sink, and on it was the skull and bones. Okay, that means you don't take it; it's poisonous. So, once on a Sunday, two SS men came, knocked on the door, opened the door. Mother said, "You can go in the bedroom." And I looked in the, we had a sort of a guardrobe on the wall, you know, where you hang your hat and stuff. And I saw these two hats with the skull and crossbones. So I thought, oh, that must be poisonous. So anyway, they took Herr Schroeder was the guy who was my father's friend, and he was a Jew, you know, the one with Ayanokal and Quicken Salat. I was allowed to come out of the bedroom, and I liked Herr Schroeder very much because he bought me a cream bun every time he came. Oh, my God. And, you know, we couldn't afford them. But I don't, it was like a Faschingskrapfen, you know, a donut, but not a hole in the middle. I don't know, you've got that too,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, they do.
And you just bake it in of swimming fat. Anyway, so, you know, I was really besotted with Herr Schroeder. He was gone. And I said to my father, are we not having Ayanokal cooking salad? And where's Herr Schroeder? And my father said, oh, he had to go early. And I said, with those poisonous people? And my father said, what do you mean poisonous? He said they had a skull and crossbone on the hats that they hung up. And I saw it when you sent me to the bedroom. And my father said, oh, yeah, yeah, very close, very close.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, I still thought, how poisonous can you be that you can wear it on your head? Yeah.